read you the last few verses, three or four verses in this little book, and try to bring you the message. The message this morning is in the form of a story, something that happened years ago, and make an into an illustration. And so you listen to the words here in Jude, verse number 22 of the book of Jude. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. Verse number 23 said, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. I'd like to preach to you for a few minutes on that little thought, pulled out of the fire. And the illustration here in the Word of God is, there's some people that you just have compassion for and pet and love and love them to the Lord. And then there's others that you just got to snatch up and say, hey, looky here, you're in danger. You're going to have to do something. And both of those approach is our ministry in the gospel. Listen to this story. On January 27, 1903, a tragic thing happened in an insane asylum in London, England. Now, in those days, when a person was mentally incompetent, they would declare them mentally insane. They'd place them in what they called a lunatic asylum. And that's where you get that word lunar, like the moon, moonstruck. That's what they used to call it when somebody would lose their mind. And it's all connected with all that barking at the moon and full moon and all that kind of stuff. And they were declared lunatics. And they didn't have the technology nor the education or the equipment or the medication to take care of people in those days like we have now. And so in those days when a person was in an insane asylum, it was a pitiful, pitiful situation. Many times they were just housed up like animals and behaved like them, and the people didn't know actually how to care for them, and they did the best they could. But on January 27, 1903, a fire broke out in a lunatic asylum in London, England. Of the 300 patients that were in their care, 50 of them were burned to death in the fire. And 250 literally had to be pulled out of by the rescuers out that fire. They didn't even know to get out. While the work of rescue was going on, the poor, insane people behaved like many people do today when their salvation is being sought after by those that are saved. And we're in the work of rescue here in our church. Every Christian should be involved in the work of rescue. There are people today that are on their way, according to the Bible. They are on their way to fire. The Bible calls that fire hell fire. It's not very popular in our day and time. It's not very well, it's not talked about a lot in public, even in pulpits across America in our day and time. But doctrine that there is a real burning hell is still in the Bible. And I just read this week where the Bible said that the smoke of their torment would ascend up forever and ever and ever. So when you come to church on Sunday, this is not just a social club in which we meet to see who's there and who's not there and who's got on new clothes and all that. This is a rescue operation. It's greater than 911 rescue. We're in the business of rescuing souls from hellfire. I'll never forget that night Tater got saved down at the tent Raise your hand over there, Tater. He was rescued from the fire. I'll never forget that night that others in here were saved and rescued from the fire. When you get saved, you're not just saved to live a good life here, although you are supposed to do that. You are rescued from the fires and torments of hell. But see, in this story that I'm telling you this morning, I'm going to illustrate how people behave when you try to get them to get saved. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is that when this fire broke out in this insane institution, there were 300 patients. They had rooms, they had beds, they were down these big long hallways, possibly maybe on the second and third floors, and fire broke out. The first thing that we noticed about the story is that some laughed at the mention of fire. Some laughed at the mention of fire. The people would come down through there. Somebody hollered upstairs and said, "Fire! We got to evacuate the building." Some of those people who were insane laughed about it. Can you imagine that? They laughed. They said, "Oh, you're crazy. You're just joking. You're pulling our leg. Man, there's no fire." They laughed at the mention of fire. Do you know why? Because their minds were not working correctly and normally. And you know, you find that same reaction when you go out here. Our young people go out here and witness around the Pizza Hut and Hardee's and places like that. We go, our bus workers knock on doors and people talk to people. And sometimes you mention fire. There's going to be a fire. There's a hell. There's a place where people go when they die. And you know what a lot of people do? They'll laugh at the mention of hell. It's a joke. You turn on your TV nowadays, hell is nothing more than a joke. People laugh about it. They're talking about, "Yeah, we're all going to hell. Yeah, we're going to party when we get there. Ha, 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 ha." And laugh about it like it's a big joke. Do you know what's wrong with people who laugh about hell? They're not in their right mind. They're temporarily insane. Like the prodigal son when he was out there in sin, and the Bible says that he came to himself. Now listen, if I thought that I could fall down these steps this morning, or I thought that my heart quit beating, that could happen, and I thought that life could leave my body, and I could die, and I could fall into a place where you burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and never get out, and I thought that I would beg for a drop of water on my tongue, and I thought that I would scream and ask God for mercy, but no mercy would ever come. If I thought that was true, I'd be a fool to laugh about that. That's not funny, brother. That's not funny. And yet that is exactly what the Bible declares will happen to people if they're not saved. I hate to tell you that. I don't like to tell people that. I don't get some kind of a sadistic thrill out of saying that, of people are going to be tormented. But if I'm going to remain true to my calling, that book says there is an eternal hell. It has eternal fire in it. And the Bible said that people who reject the Lord and the book of Revelation, they will be tormented day and night with fire and brimstone. That's what the Bible said. And I got news for you. In 1996, God has never changed his mind what he said about hell. You say, "Well, preacher, I just don't like to hear about it." I know you don't. I don't like to talk about it. I don't enjoy talking about this. This is not a good part of my job. My job has a lot of good parts. This is not one of them. I don't enjoy telling people that our loved ones will burn forever in a place without God and ask God for mercy. I don't like to tell people that. But if the Bible's true, that's the truth. And I believe the Bible's true. Do you realize how much God hates sin? God hates sin enough to let a person go to the lake of fire who will not repent of their sin. And you hear me this morning. You hear me. You can walk down the road and go down here somewhere, and you can find you a preacher who will tell you you're all right and everything's cool and you don't have to worry about it. But I'm going to tell you the truth this morning. I'm going to tell you the truth. You may never come back. You may stomp out of here, get mad, but I'm going to tell you the truth. God said there's a hell, and a person is out of their mind to laugh about it. It's not funny. You know, I enjoy laughing and cutting up, and I got a sense of humor, and I'm telling you, it overboard sometimes. But I'll tell you, when it comes to people dying and going to hell, there's nothing funny about that. There's nothing to joke about. It's not funny. It's not nothing to snip out. I've heard people laugh about it and say, yeah, when I get to hell, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I'm going to party and we're going to do this and that and the other. Only a fool would laugh at the mention of fire. But let me say what else went on that night while the rescue work was going on. Some would not leave their bed at night and go out. They wouldn't do it. Somebody went running down the hall, one of the workers, and they said, fire, fire. And many of those people were already snug in bed. And they didn't know. They were mentally incompetent. And they would lay there in their bed, and they thought, well, the building's on fire, but I'm safe and I'm warm, and I don't want to go out. It's January. I don't want to go out there in the cold and inconvenience myself by getting up in the middle of the night, you know, and running out of this building. I'm just going to stay here where I'm comfortable. I don't want to leave my comforts that I have in order to avoid the fire. I've talked to so many people just like that. Just like that. They say, listen, you believe in hell? Yes. Do you believe there's a fire? Yes. Do you believe you might go? Yes. Well, why don't you get saved? And their problem is they don't want to leave their comforts and enjoyments and things that are comfortable around them. They don't want to give up that old lifestyle, even if it means going to hell for. But I want to tell you one thing, buddy. I ain't never seen nothing in this world worth going to hell for. Amen. I talked to men who were shacking up with somebody they wasn't married to. And I said, why don't you get saved? And they'll say, well, if I get saved, I'd have to leave her. And I'd look at her. And I think, man, you're blind. I ain't never seen a woman that pretty I'd go to hell for. Amen. Amen? No, 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 no. And if you think you have, you've been brainwashed. You say, well, I just love him, and if I get saved, I'll have to leave him. I ain't never seen a man that I'd go to hell for. I wouldn't go to hell for my mother or my dad or my sisters. I wouldn't go to hell for my friends. I wouldn't go to hell for... You say, well, I'm making a lot of money. I wouldn't go to hell for money. You know what? All you can have it is a few years down here, and then you're going to die, and you got forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Y'all know what happened to me the other night. I got real dizzy, and I think I got some water on my inner ears. It made me real swimmy-headed. And they said, how are you, preacher? And I said, I'm fine now, just last a few hours. But I'll tell you what, I said, if that's what getting drunk feels like, I don't see what people get out of it. They said, I bet like you're drunk. Then I said, I don't know, I ain't never been drunk. But if that's what it feels like, I don't see why people do it. You must be hard up for a good time if you do it feeling like this. You think it's fun. You must be in bad shape for fun, man. I never felt... Hey, I don't know what it feels like to be high on drugs. I can feel my... I feel good enough right now. I feel so good right now I could just jump up and run around this building. I feel... Why would you want to feel any better than that? I'm telling you, I ain't never... I don't believe there's no drug worth going to hell for. I'll tell you something happened one night. I was preaching a tent revival down in Road Hiss. How many knows where Road Hiss is? That's a big city between Hickory and Asheville. And I was preaching down there one night. There was a young man. There was a fence back at the back of the parking lot. And I preached that night, and I noticed there's a boy. Looked like a teenage boy, about 18 or 19. And he's standing there looking at me, holding his hands on that fence. And he had his head down like he's just under conviction, miserable. And I don't usually do this, but for some reason, I left the platform, turned it over to the preacher there, and I walked back to the back. And I just eased back there, you know, and I kind of got up beside that boy. He's standing there, and he had on some kind of wild shirt, and his hair was kind of long, and he's standing there looking at that fence, looking through that fence up there at the platform. He looked miserable. He looked miserable. And I kind of leaned up over beside him. I said, hey, man, why don't you go up there and get saved? You need to get saved? And he said, I do. And I said, listen, I'll go up there and pray with you if you want to get saved. Why don't you? The Lord will save you. And he kind of looked down like this, you know. You know how people do. He just kind of looked down like that. And I said, what do you want to? And he said, I need to. I said, you don't go to hell. And he just kind of looked like that. And then I said, I don't usually say that. For some reason, I just said, there's something you don't want to give up, ain't there? And you know what? That boy looked at me and he said, yeah, they are. And I said, it's smoking pot, ain't it? And he looked at me and said, yeah, sure is. And that boy said, I get high every weekend. He said, I want to do this. And he said, I will not give it up, even if it means me dying and going to hell. You know what's wrong with that boy? He's out of his mind. He's out of his mind. Insane. That's not rational. That's not reasonable. That don't make sense. Have you been burned lately? Listen, you don't know, a lot of times people come to our church and people get to shouting and waving their hands and everything. You get to thinking about being saved from that blistering, burning fire. We're not going to burn, man. Hey, we're a bunch of deadheads compared to what we ought to be. Man, we ought to tear the rest of the walls down, shouting in here, saying, praise God, I'm not going to burn in that fire. Listen, if saved this morning, there's a blistering, burning fire popping and cracking down there, and there's people screaming for a drop of water on their tongue. And if you're saved, you're not going to go. People say, oh, if those people raise their hands, they're fanatical. Hey, man, I've seen these same people sit and watch one of them game shows. You know, and one of them game shows comes out, and the guy pulls out and he says, pulls out a card and he says, all right, Mary Sue, come on down. And watch what Mary Sue does. She's sitting halfway back, got big Mickey Mouse ears on, something like that. She jumps and goes, that fella's jaw's been kissed more than St. Peter's toe over in Rome. He probably got Bondo on his jaw. She ain't even won nothing, man. They just called her name. Oh, she's going to get some luggage. A trip to Hawaii or a new car. I mean, I'd jump up and down, somebody give me a car. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But I want to tell you something. Listen. We're going to walk on gold streets. We're not going to hell. We deserve to go to hell. We desire to go to hell, but we're not going to go. Oh, praise his name this morning. It just makes good sense to get saved. I don't know who you are or what you're holding on to this morning, but whatever it is, I can promise you this, it's not worth it. I don't know what's keeping you back from giving your heart to the Lord this morning, but I promise you it's not worth it. I don't know what kind of fun you may be having or what kind of relationship you may be in or whatever that's keeping you from getting saved, but I promise you it's not worth it. Some laughed and some would not leave their bed. Not only that, some were found hiding under their bed from the fire. Those poor people thought their bed would protect them. And when the fire got close, they'd get up underneath their bed like that, and just like a little animal, and sit there and quiver and let that fire them up. And yet you say, preacher, that's crazy. Why didn't they run out of the building? Why don't you run to Jesus and let him save you? You're doing the same thing they did. They got up under their bed and hid. They thought, maybe I'll be all right. You know, a lot of people are doing that this morning. They're just balling up, saying, there's peace. I'll be all right. I'll just take it easy and play my cards right and try to be careful and all that. I don't care how careful you are. You got to die sometime. I don't care how healthy you stay. You know what I heard the other day? I don't know if it's true or not. Some of you health nuts can correct me. But somebody said, if you eat right, oh, I ain't going to say that. You're going to live a few days longer than people don't. Good night, man. You can live off bird seeds if you want to. And I mean, if you want to, have at it, man. It's free country. But I'll tell you something. You listen to me. I don't care how healthy you are, you got to die sometime. Every doctor in the world ain't going to keep you alive forever. You cannot avoid. You can't hide under your bed and avoid facing God. Church membership is hiding under the bed. People, are you saved? Well, I belong to the First Church of the Refrigerator. Dr. Jack Frost is my pastor. Well, I didn't ask you that. Are you saved? You know what I want to ask you this morning? Are you saved? I want to ask you a question. Have you been saved? Do you know that there's been a change in your heart? Do you know Jesus Christ is in there? That's the question, not whether you're a member of a church. I can't believe there's people in Marion that think because they go to church on Sunday, they're going to heaven. I mean, just because you sit in a garage don't make you a car. I mean, just because you sit in a bakery don't mean you're a donut. Although you will turn into one if you stay there long enough. But just because you go to church don't mean you're a Christian, man. Listen, you've got to be born again. Then also quickly, some thought the rescuers had made up the fire. Some blamed the rescuers for starting the fire. Here these people were risking their lives to get these people out, had these big coats on and risking their life running in to try to save them. And the people were on their bed saying, it's your fault. You set the building on fire. You're trying to hurt us. Don't we see that happening today? The very people we're trying to rescue turn their guns on us and say, it's you preachers the one that thought up all this stuff. You preachers make everybody miserable. You Christians come and torment us. Tell me I'm going to hell. Tell me I'm going to hell. Listen, man, we didn't make it up. This thing was preached thousands of years before I were born. I'm just telling you the truth from what God said. The rescuers didn't make up the fire. Some people think our job is to scare them and torment them so we can manipulate them and lure them into our cult, you know, and all that kind of bull. Let me tell you something. Our job is to warn you. The last thing a cult leader would ever tell you is that you're going to burn in hell. They'll never talk like that. You can't have a cult like that. You ought to have better sense than that. You know it? The last thing a cult leader would ever do would be scream and holler at you and tell you about your sins. Listen. Some thought the rescuers had made up the fire. Many fought against the rescuers, biting and tearing their hair out. They fought against the very people that's trying to save them. Sad proof of insanity. Fighting against those that are seeking your salvation. Many husbands fight against their wives that are trying to get them to get saved. Isn't that right? Said, honey, please go. Oh, shut up. I don't want you to mention church one more time. You know what you are? You're like an insane man. That woman's trying to keep you from burning. And you're fighting her. One more time, in case you didn't get it. The wife said, honey, please go to church with me. Well, I love you. I want you to be saved. You shut up. Don't you mention church to me one more time. I don't want to hear it. Leave me alone. You know what your problem is? You're out of your mind, buddy. Hell, you ought to thank God that woman's trying to keep you to hell, that she cares about you. Many times men have threatened women. They've slapped them. They've hit them. They've cursed them. They've knocked them down on the floor for trying to save their soul. Finally, some were heard screaming and beating at the door when it was too late. I said some were heard screaming and beating at the door. Imagine the flames now coming up over that old building. The rescuers finally had to abandon the search. And finally they heard some of those people in there going, help! Look at as the fire burned them up. That's exactly what God said would happen. That's what happened in the days of Noah. God finally shut that door. Boy, if there's anything that ought to give us a burden for our lost loved ones, thinking about this one. They were hurt, beaten. You know what's going to happen to a lot of people? They're going to beg God to help them. But it'll be too late. The door will be shut. Hey, there's a boy right down here. Had a bad wreck. Matter of fact, got killed several miles one night. And I walked up to town. I got up there, and they said that he's in an auto parts store uptown that day, a few hours before that. And somebody hollered at him when he was leaving and said, "Hey, man," I called his name, "Duff, where are you headed?" And he turned around and laughed as he went out the door and said, "To hell if I don't do better." And turned and went out the door. And in less than about 8 hours, he had flipped that car and he wound up in hell. He's not joking about it this morning.
Right.
He ain't laughing about it this morning. He's saying, "Oh God, if you just give me one more chance, things would be different. Oh God, if you'd give me one more Sunday, I'd go to church, I'd go to the altar, I'd get right." But God said, once it's done, once that life is lived, it's over. And there's no going back. You see why I compare it to insanity? It just don't make sense. Some of you here this morning may need just to be pulled out of the fire. If I was you here this morning and there was a doubt in my mind that I saved, I'd be here on this altar taking care of that business. Because one of these days, it's going to be too late. Maybe you're one here this morning that needs to be literally just pulled out of the fire. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one moving. Every head bowed. Please, no one moving unless it's absolutely emergency. Stay right here. Maybe you're a Christian here this morning that has a lost loved one and you'd like to come and pray for them this morning. And not just pray for them, but pray for yourself that God will help you to have the burden to give witness to them. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never been saved, while many are already coming this morning. Maybe you're here and deep down in your heart, you know things are not right between you and God. Jesus loves you this morning. And he died on a cruel, rugged, ugly cross so that you could be saved. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to find out what this is like firsthand. Just let the Lord just pull you out of the fire today. My, my, my. Many, many, many's already coming. My soul, what a blessing. People are concerned about their loved ones. People are concerned about friends that are not saved. If you're here, you come this morning, you're saved. You can be saved right here, right now. You can be saved. Maybe we need some of you men to pray here. God's speaking to your heart. Amen. Father, do what ought to be done here this morning. Move in every heart and every life. Heavenly Father, touch every person on this altar. Give them their heart's desire. And God, do what ought to be done in that person here this morning who's never been saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing this morning the first verse. Everybody knows it. "Just as I am without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me." If you need to come this morning, kneel on this altar. Let's settle this issue. Come on, join these. Everybody, let's sing. Come on.
Just
come on, right? That's right. Amen. Let the Lord pull you out of the fire this morning. That's right. about this and still praying. Amen.
Just as I am, oh, tossed
about. That's right.
With many a
heart. Come on.
With many.
Come on. You need to come. Come right now. Come right now. Amen. Amen.
Yes.